My name is Dante Williams. I am 36 years old. Today's date is July 14th, 2017. I'm here at CRA with my friend and advocate, Kenneth.
Hi, my name is Kenneth, and I am 58 years old, and I am here with my friend, Dante Williams.
Well, Kenneth, thank you for coming in today. This is actually the second time that I've seen you. We've had some technical difficulties in the past, and so we're re-recording your story. Okay. But I remember from talking to you, you had a very interesting story, so that's why I want to sit you down today and recapture that story. So, Kenneth, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, like I said, I'm 58 years old. I started using heroin in 1980, injecting it. And I feel that I was injecting it because I was self-medicating. I never was diagnosed by a doctor with being a depressive, but I know I am. There's days I cannot get out of bed, I cannot go to work, and it's a real hassle for me. I can't get disability because they tell me that even though I have physical ailments, there's still other jobs I can do. But the jobs that they tell me that I can do, they will not hire me for because of my background and with thefts and things of that nature. And through my drug usage and sharing needles at the time, I obtained hepatitis C. And I feel that if they had a program back then, passing out clean needles and the things that a user used to share because he had no other choice because you couldn't get needles anywhere and everybody had to use them. If I didn't have to use other people's works and stuff like that, which I don't any longer, I wouldn't sustained hepatitis C. Well, that's not true. It would have been a better chance that I would not have obtained hepatitis C. And they tell me that they can't give me the treatments for hepatitis C now because I'm a user. But I don't use other people's works anymore or any of that stuff. I don't do any of the activities that would get me hepatitis C. So, you know, I can't say that I would get hepatitis C once I get the cure. There's no way they can say that I will go back and get hepatitis C because I don't do those activities that got me hepatitis C in the first place.
You know, Kenneth, that's a good point. You know, that's something we definitely are trying to get the word out about, that, you know, they're discriminating against people that are maybe still actively using, but in your situation, you're actively using, but you're not putting yourself at the same risk that you were putting yourself at back then. So tell me a little bit about, you know, I didn't catch it, but when did you first learn about your diagnosis?
First time I was diagnosed with hepatitis was probably in 1982 or 1983. But when I was diagnosed for hepatitis C specifically was when I was in the penitentiary, and that was probably until 1995, in that area. The doctor told me, you know, he was asking me about my history, drug usage and stuff, and I told him that I had A and B hepatitis. He said, that don't sound right. He said, I'll bet you have hepatitis C. And he took a blood test, and after about 30 or 40 sticks, he finally got to be able to draw blood and or put a IV in me, it's very hard for me to get IVs because of that. It's always hard for me to go to the doctor because of that. They always want me to, they always want to draw blood. I would not let them, you know, wouldn't give them a hassle about doing it. But, you know, they're the ones that are discriminating against me. I'm not discriminating against them.
Right. So when you got your diagnosis, how did the doctor, what was his treatment like? What did he say to you? Was he cold? Did he counsel you? What did he say?
No, he was very cold. It was, there was no warmth. There was no support. It was just, you have hepatitis C, and all we have for it is interferon at the time. And everybody I knew who took interferon, it was a lot, for a lot of people, it was a bad experience for them.
Yeah, and that's true. And so today, fast forward, we have this miracle drug, as we can call it, that doesn't have the same effects as interferon, and you know it can typically clear the virus, you know, 95% of the time, and you know within, you know, a couple of months, 2 months. So you know, knowing what you know now, and I know in the beginning that you said that hepatitis C has affected your life, and you know you couldn't get a job and things like that, and you know it's had an effect on your body. And you know earlier you were showing me your leg and how you have edema and stuff like that. So how did you feel when the doctor told you that you weren't eligible for treatment because of your substance use?
I was confused because they were telling me that, you know, the needle exchange program and the methadone program I'm on is supposed to be a support for me, positive support for me, but yet there was none of that going on, and I was just confused about it. You know, I don't want to die from this liver disease, you know. I understand that they're trying to give it to people who have a chance to remain clean, but, you know, everybody, their metabolism is different. Reasons for using may be different. I mean, are different. You know, you're going to discriminate against somebody with a disease like that. Back in the day, they used to follow up on people who had syphilis, and they'd find all of their sexual partners and stuff like that. And, you know, they don't do that when you get hepatitis C or when you have other sexually transmitted diseases.
Okay. And so, the thing about the discrimination, you know, one thing we're trying to do, we're trying to get people who are in your situation that has made some positive changes in their life, regardless of the fact that you're using, you're not putting yourself at the same level of risk. And you're an example of, even though you are still actively using, your chances of reinfections are low because you're coming to a place like CRA and you are getting those clean needles, you're getting those clean works, you're not doing... you're reducing your risk to a certain point where, you know, the chances of reinfection if you're treated are low. So if you had a message to the politicians right now, a message to the insurance companies that are seeing lives as a dollar and cent, placing a dollar value on lives, what would you say to them right now? What would be your message?
Well, the message would be everybody who is ever in sick or in trouble always needs a helping hand. There's nobody in this world that doesn't need somebody else to help. And they claim to be wanting to help, but when you go for the help, there's roadblocks. They don't want to give it to you because you're using. Well, who you gonna, you know, I mean, yeah, that's how they, that's how everybody's contracted the disease in the first place. But now they're on these other programs like the needle exchange. They're not doing the same types of behavior that got them in trouble in the first place. So what I don't understand is, why would they flip the switch and try to say that I'm not a likely candidate because I'm a user? Well, anybody who has hepatitis C was a user at one time, or had sex with somebody who was a user. If it was one of their children, how would they feel? Or if it was them, how would they feel? You know, when it hits home, close to home, now all of a sudden, you know, they want to make changes. But while I'm trying to get a change made so that I can get rid of this disease and people I know that have it can get rid of it, it is not happening, and they're dragging their feet, and the wheels of justice start turning real slow.
You know, Ken, you make a lot of good points, and we definitely appreciate you sharing that story. And we're going to get this message out there, and hopefully the people that are putting those roadblocks in place, they can take a step back and look at, you know, the human beings that are being affected by this disease, and we can get the cure flowing like the river around here, because it's needed.
You know, I'm just like anybody else. I am another human. I'm just another human being like anybody else, and I feel that I deserve the same chance that anybody else has, and maybe even more so because I do have the disease. I'm not, you know, it's active in me. It's not laying dormant, you know, and who knows how much longer, you know, before, you know, get decides to get nasty and, you know, take my life.
Very true. And again, Ken, we're going to go ahead and wrap up, and we just appreciate your time here today. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I pray and hope that anybody listening to this doesn't have the unfortunate circumstances that I had to contract this disease, and I wish them the best of luck in their life.
All right, thank you.